How many of you guys, your first time coming to I'm Among Friends? Because I'm standing up here and this is my very first time as well. So, man, it's great to see you, especially those who are first timers. And we got some ground rules to cover this morning. My name is Matt Fry, one of the pastors here. And man, it's just great to join you. Just want to share a few things kind of as we get rolling and give you as much time in your table groups this morning. So, I know this, when I came into this, I found out it's 4 weeks, which is a sprint, right? You can do anything for 4 weeks. And I also found out that with great fanfare, Brent, our lead pastor, has said that there are only two reasons you can miss this. All right, some of you are laughing. And I heard that whoop, and I'm surprised you're here. But because... For those of us who are newbies, the two reasons you could miss is, number one, basically if you're sick, dead, or dying. The second reason is, and I want to put this tactfully, if you're a married guy and you get ready to roll out of bed to come to this and your wife says, please don't leave, baby. You know what I'm saying? All right, well, there's a new sheriff in town. And I want to read 1 Corinthians 7:5 to you, which says this: do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement, for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer. So here's what I want you to tell your wife when she says, please don't leave, baby. You say, I'm going to study the Bible. I want you to pray for me. All right? So I expect you to be here. I'm kidding. If that works out for you, we will rejoice with you. All right, so that being said, just some ground rules. On your table, you have several things. You have a sheet of paper, and even as I'm talking here in an introductory way, maybe you could fill that out, provide name, email, phone number. And table group leaders, great way through the week, maybe just touch base with your guys, see how everyone's doing. So just fill that out before you go and just leave that on the table for the table group leaders. You've got a small booklet that says Keystone Equipping, and in that you can kind of take notes as you come each week and you hear the talk, and then questions that obviously are the follow-up to the discussion. So that's what's available for you there to use. This session, what we're going to be doing in 4 weeks, we're calling it My Verse, and let me just jump into that before I go into what I want to share this morning. Ray Ortlund, there's a name to know as a man. Ray Ortlund, maybe some of you know that name. Ortlund. He's a guy I've learned a lot from, a little farther ahead of me in seasons in life, but I just learned a lot from Ray. He's a pastor in Tennessee, was a professor at Ted Seminary for years. Just a really good guy, comes from a rich heritage of Christians. And he said this was advice he got from a trusted friend when him and his wife were going through what he called a catastrophic disaster of a year. He said this, his friend told him this: Ray, you're suffering, and it isn't going to get better anytime soon, so here's an idea. Ask the Lord for a verse of Scripture, a promise in the Bible, to help you get through this. And when that verse jumps off the page into your heart, make it the theme of your life while you slog your way forward. However dark the nighttime sky might be, you can always look up at the North Star promise, get your bearings again, and keep going. Wallpaper your reality with the Word of God. I love that last statement. Wallpaper your reality with the Word of God. That's what I want to accomplish in our 4 weeks here with this, with my verse. And so, starting with me today, I have a couple guys coming each week, and they're going to share a passage of Scripture that God has used to meet them in a catastrophic year of their life, a hard time. Or maybe it's just a verse that they claim for their family that God used in their life. And then to share kind of how that happened for them, how God used that for them. And then to kind of share that in the discussion questions of how you as a man might apply that as well. And you'll be able to do that at your tables and kind of break that down. And then a big part of that, and I'm going to grab one of these sheets at the bottom, and we want to start thinking through this today. That number 7 question is this: this week, begin to pray and search the Scriptures for your verse. What is a verse or passage of Scripture that you were drawn to? What might God be saying to you in this time that is, hey, here's a passage of scripture for you to claim for your family. Or maybe right now, if you were to talk to me one-on-one, you would say, man, I'm going through, this is what's up, man. It's very difficult. All right, how might you wallpaper your life with a verse of scripture that God might use, a passage, a verse, something that God might use? So that's what we want to accomplish in this time, and I hope it's beneficial for you. So let me open us in prayer, and then I want to jump into what I want to share this morning. Lord God, we thank you for bringing us together. I thank you for each of these men, for the homes they represent. Lord, I pray that whatever circumstances bring them, that God, first and foremost, your word would speak to us powerfully. And then, Lord, I pray as a byproduct of our time together that the groups that we're sitting in, these tables, that, Lord, you would use the opportunity we get to meet some men we've never met before to build some relationships, to start to break down some barriers of be it loneliness or just newness, whatever it may be, the opportunity to get to know each other better. So I pray that would happen. And so I just thank you for the time now and ask you to guide us, and we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Psalm 1, if you have a Bible, go ahead and turn there. So my verse is, my passage is Psalm 1, 1-3. God has used that powerfully in my life. Psalm 1, 1-3. I'm older than many of you, unfortunately. Some of you I'm not, and I relish that. But there was a time when I was where you are, many of you younger guys. I was a student ministry pastor in Columbus, Ohio, and man, I was in a growing church with a growing ministry of middle school and high school students, and I had two toddlers. I was changing diapers like a boss. I was trying to love my wife well. I was trying to spend my money right. I was trying to follow Jesus in my life. Sound familiar? I was trying to keep the grass cut, keep two cars on the road, keep my house together, maybe hunt and fish a little bit. I was where you are. And life was crazy. And there were times where it was like, man, I wasn't taking care of my soul. And I remember those times being difficult times, just trying to keep up. And I was on a trip with students in the South. We were on a mission trip. And here I am, the student pastor, man, and I'm chasing all these high school kids around, trying to pour into them. And there were times in my life where I needed God to pour into me. And I will never forget being at a gathering, one of the gatherings for a devotional in the morning, and this guy, this Southern Baptist evangelist guy, man, he broke down Psalm 1, 1-3, and shared three things from that psalm that men have, it has stuck with me over the course of my life. And that's what I want to share with you, and then give you the opportunity to talk about it at your table. The way he unpacked Psalm 1 has been a challenge to me ever since. I know it by heart, so I'll read the Matt Frye version. It's going to be pretty close, all right? Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, who doesn't stand in the way of sinners, and who doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on that law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree planted by rivers of water, who brings forth his fruit in its season. Whatever he does will prosper. Those three verses are verses I've really anchored my life in because of kind of that catalytic moment in my life where God used that passage of scripture in my life. And let me share a couple things about that with you. God taught me three things, and they're on that those questions there for you. Question four. Here's what he said about those verses. Here's what those verses say to us. We have to eliminate, in life, we have to eliminate some things, we have to establish some things, and we have to expect some things. So Psalm 1, 1-3 has taught me this, and I've never forgotten it, and I used it as a young man, and I use it as an older man, and I'll use it as an old man. Life is full of opportunities, sometimes daily, to eliminate some things, to establish some things, and to expect some things. Let me break that down for you. Eliminate some things. Look at verse 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk, who does not stand, who does not sit. You see that progression there, or digression? Maybe that's something you've seen before. Maybe it's something you've never seen before. It stands out to me. Blessed is the man who does not walk, who does not stand, who does not sit. Here's the problem with sin. It starts with walking. And this morning, some of us are walking in sin. We're walking past, we're still moving, but it's caught our attention. This morning, some of us are standing in sin. Some of us are so captured by it that we've stopped walking past it and we're looking at it. And God forbid, we may be on the verge of, I'm ready to take a step toward that sin, whatever it may be. And unfortunately, some of us this morning may be sitting in it. So it's gone from walking past it to standing and seeing it to sitting in it. That has to be eliminated. That digression in our lives of allowing sin to distract us from where, man, I was walking past it, now I'm standing and looking at it, now I'm sitting in it. I mean, just that alone, think about that. Where are you at in that digression, man? Where does God want to speak to you and what you need to eliminate? Eliminating some things. Walking, standing, sitting. I thought about that like this as I let that challenge me. Who you are with, where you are at, and what you are doing will determine where you are going. Who you are with, where you are at, what you are doing will determine where you are going. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk, who doesn't stand, who doesn't sit. What do you need this morning to eliminate from your life? Where has sin stopped you and made you say, yeah, you should jump into this? Yeah, you should have that attitude. Yeah, you weren't treated right there. Yeah, just one look. Where has sin pulled me away to where I'm standing or sitting? Here's the deal. There's some things in my life I need to eliminate, and it usually revolves around who I'm with, where I'm going, what I'm doing. Man, write those things out. Begin to make a list. God, here's some relationships I need to get rid of. Here's some things I'm involved with that need to stop. Here's some places I'm going. That always challenges me. I need to eliminate some things. Who you are with, where you are at, what you are doing will determine where you are going. What do you need to eliminate this morning? I grew up in Pittsburgh Steeler country.
Easy.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what. There is enough drama in Steeler Nation to start a soap opera every year. And so I grew up 40 minutes from Pittsburgh. And so local sports radio is just the constant drumbeat of Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. That's been the last year. And one of the longtime sports broadcasters in Pittsburgh, a guy named Ron Cook, he says this all the time. When it comes to Steelers creating drama off the field, he says, nothing good ever happens on the streets of Pittsburgh after midnight. And it always seemed to happen that when a Steeler got himself in trouble in Pittsburgh, it was 3 a.m. in the worst part of town. Guess what happens in those places after midnight? Bad things. And Ron would always say, if you're a Pittsburgh Steeler, the best place you can be after midnight is at home in your house in bed. Because on East Carson Street in Pittsburgh, where the bars are, nothing good happens after midnight. If you're there, chances are nothing good is going to happen. And I was thinking about this when I was thinking about this issue of eliminating some things. Blessed is a man who doesn't walk, stand, sit. You know, where in your life is there things going on where you say, wow, today needs to be a day where I eliminate that. So, eliminate some things. Expect some things. Blessed is a man who doesn't walk, stand, sit. But, it says, in his law, he meditates day and night. That's a big but. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk, stand, sit in sin, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on that law he meditates. We need to establish some things, man. In the process of eliminating some things, we need to establish some things. Verse 2 says that. We need to... Two things here when it comes to establishing some things. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on that law he meditates. We need to put the time in. On that law he meditates. The second part of that verse says to me, we have to put time in. And maybe you're here and you're like, I'm not a reader. The Bible's a book. So get it on audio, or get an app, or there's a million ways to get into the Word of God. You got to put the time in. And if you're an archery hunter, if you're a guy who works out, I mean, whatever your hobby is, you take seriously, you know this, you got to put time in if you want to be good at that thing. And I'm more than willing to do that. But when it comes to what I need to establish in my life good spiritual disciplines, you got to put the time in. On His law, He meditates day and night. That's hard. And I'm not here to beat you up, because here you are at 6 o'clock in the morning saying, feed me. Awesome. You know, this is putting the time in, right? This being willing to roll out before work and say, I need to put the time in. That's establishing some things. But on His law, He meditates day and night. The other thing that verse talks about is His delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight. It's His pleasure. It's His pleasure. You need to put the time in, and you need to pray for pleasure. Put two opposite things there when it comes to what you need to establish in your life, right? One of them in that verse speaks of hard work, like putting the time in. Reps, man. But then one of them speaks of, God, give me pleasure. Meet me somehow in that to say, I'd rather do this than anything. I don't know about you, but I don't have a heart like that for God's word. And naturally, I can't produce that. To be a man of prayer, to love my wife the way I should, to not get frustrated with my kids, I don't naturally possess that. So it's like, God, in these things I need to establish, I'll put the time in, but sometimes it's just hard work. It's just doing the reps. So God, give me pleasure in that. Make it the most desirable thing that I would honor You. That's what I want to establish. I'm a dirty, rotten sinner, God. Man, if You knew Matt Fry. So I have to pray to God and say, God, give me the pleasure for that. I want to delight in Your word. I want to delight in Your law. How often do we see psalmists praying for that, right? What are you delighting, man? Isn't it easy to think about maybe that thing in your life? God, how could You give me pleasure like that? I talked about hunting, fishing. I love the outdoors. I don't like interior decorating. And if you're into that, listen, you're making it hard for the rest of us. I just want to say that. But like, my wife's super into that, right? And we got a new place we moved into, and so you go home, she's like, you like this chair here or there? And then she's like, and don't just say whatever. I'm trapped, right? Like, I don't want to talk about this. I don't care. That's what I want to say, right? What's that, homemakers? Why do you have that here? It's a horrible place. It's like the Disneyland of furniture stores. No one told me about that. But man, we'll talk about fishing all day. I'll show you pictures and videos and God, I need to establish the things in my life. And I want Your word, and I want my prayer life, and I want my home, and I want the way I work. I want those things to give You pleasure. I want to find pleasure in You. So I'm praying for that, God. That's what I need to establish in my life. The psalmist says, His delight. This man who does it, this man who eliminates the wrong things, establishes the right things. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on that law He meditates day and night. He puts the time in that He might find pleasure in it. What do you need to establish? Maybe some of you are here and it's like you're turning a page. Awesome. Maybe it's the first time you picked up your Bible outside of walking into that room. Awesome. Don't quit. Pray for pleasure. Put the time in. Establish some things. Last thing is this. Expect some things. Eliminate some things. Expect some things. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk, stand, sit in sin. Rather, he establishes the right things. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And on that law he meditates day and night. Give me pleasure, God. And when that happens, the psalmist says you can expect some things. I will be like a tree planted by rivers of water. Do you know how much that metaphor resonates with me? I love trees and I love water. When I was a student pastor in Columbus, I used to fish the Mad River in northwest Columbus, or northwest Ohio. It's an anomaly, that river, because it flows through cornfields like you have in Iowa. And it's a crystal clear cold spring creek. And it's amazing because you'll drive up toward the Mad River and it's like this cornfield, cornfield, cornfield. And then all of a sudden you see this ribbon of lush, dense forest. And that's the Mad River. Because there's so much life around that river because of just the nature of it. That to get in there and fish, you have to hack your way into that river. I mean, it's like welcome to Narnia. It's amazing. You walk through a cornfield, cut through this lush, lush grass and trees onto the banks of a crystal clear river, and you're like, I'm in the middle of Ohio. How can this be? And there on the banks of that river are strong sycamore trees and vines and deer and turkey and wildlife of all kind thrive in that environment. Amen. The promise of the psalmist is this: if we eliminate the wrong things and establish the right things, we can expect some great things. We really can. Spiritually, the psalmist says it's like you're a tree planted by a river of water. You're like a 40-foot sycamore on the banks of the Mad River. And maybe you're in the middle of a barren field, but there's that lush ribbon of forested woodland. The psalmist says, by the power of God, you're a tree planted by that river of water. You can expect some things. I wonder, and one of the questions therefore you think about is this: what kind of tree are you? Is it a dry season? Are you a sapling? Nothing wrong with that. Are you here and you say, man, I'm brand new in my faith? And maybe you've not even been planted in Christ yet. Maybe you said, man, I don't even know Jesus. I just know this is a place that's welcoming. I like the music, whatever's drawn here. But you're like, man, I'm not even planted in that. I need to know more. Awesome. Or maybe you're hearing by God's grace, man, you're growing strong. Keystone's been a good place for you. Your connection group has ministered to you. The Word of God has spoken to your life, and you say, man, I've established some things, and I'm expecting some things from God. What an awesome place to be. We're all probably some kind of tree this morning, right? That's something for us to talk about. What might God want to say there? Everything he does will prosper. Let me finish with that. Everything he does will prosper. Aren't there guys on TV that would take that and twist it right around? You know, A plus B equals C. If you eliminate some things and establish some things, you can expect some things. $1 million. Praise God. That's what they do. I don't think that's what it's saying. I think something to wrestle with though is, what does it look like? What is that prosperity? There's one thing that stands out to me is this. Prosperity is looking like Jesus, who's really the one in view in this psalm. Prosperity is that my life would reflect Christ. That's prosperity. So that even through the hard times, I'm still establishing the right things and eliminating the wrong things. Well, one of the questions to wrestle with is, what if we put Jesus' name at the beginning of this psalm? Blessed is Jesus who did not walk in the way of sinners. Man, it changes the whole psalm. Why? Because Jesus lived that perfectly. His life is in view here. Well, everything he does will prosper. If I'm eliminating the wrong things and establishing the right things, I can expect some great things. And what does that look like? It looks like me being a sacrificing, humbled man who reflects Jesus Christ in my relationships and in my desire for God. So, I got to tell you guys, through a lot of seasons of life, I will be married 30 years this year. Holy cow! Been a lot of marriage. Been a lot of ups and downs. I can't believe my wife's still with me. That's just one area of my life where I would tell you, this passage of scripture, God has used it deeply in my life. For the Spirit of God to say, Matt, you need to get rid of some stuff. Matt, you need to establish some stuff. And by the grace of God, expect some stuff. So that's what I want us to talk about today. You got those questions there. I've kind of shed some light on some of the things to share. So I hope you have a good opportunity to discuss. And let me close this in prayer, and then you can have at it. And I look forward to God using this in our lives. Great to see you, men. And don't forget to fill out that sheet and leave that on the table so that table group leaders can get in touch with you. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you for the power of the Word of God. I thank you for what Psalm 1 has meant in my life. I thank you for the times in my life where you have broken me down to eliminate the wrong things in my life. Thank you for when you have given me great pleasure in establishing the right things. That's from you, it's not from me. Lord, I thank you for the blessings you have given me that I do not deserve. But Lord, I live in the promise of your goodness. And so I thank you and you bless me with that. I pray you would help us each to use the searchlight of the scriptures to change. So I pray today this discussion would bear that fruit. We'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. All right, go at it. Thanks, man. Gentlemen, it's about almost a little bit after 10 after. Sorry to interrupt some of you praying. I hate doing that, but thanks, man. What a great start. I know discussion around our table was good. As you think about it, it's kind of an easy grid to run life through of eliminating, establishing, and expecting, but then the practicality of that. I just pray here it's easy to talk about that around the table, but some of us go into situations now where rubber hits the road maybe in the next hour of one of those areas. So. That's where we need the Lord to meet us, so I pray that He does. Really be thinking about that last thing, what in my life moving forward might be a passage of Scripture that I can anchor my soul in, I can anchor my family in. God, I need to claim this. I'm going through something. God, meet me in your Word. May my reality be wallpaper with the Word of God. What a great thing for us to do. Let me close some prayer and things be gone. Let me lead us. God, we thank you. I thank you for each of these men. We thank you for the power of your Word. Lord, it begins with us. You called us to areas of leadership that are unique, and with that comes responsibility. And so I pray that in our homes, in this church, in our jobs, that, Lord, we would lead well. And so it begins by eliminating the wrong things, establishing the right things, expecting some great things by the power of your Word. And so move through us, we pray, this weekend. We'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you're dismissed. Thanks, guys.